sermon to be preached.
So turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. We're going to, over the next while, look at Abraham's life. It'll take us through Genesis 25. Genesis 12 is where we're at today. I want to look at those first four verses, and we will consider this text. It is, I believe, Abraham's life can inspire and will inspire us and give us courage as we continue to follow the Lord. Let me read that text this morning. Genesis 12, 1 through the first part of verse 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today needy. We want to hear from heaven today. We want to hear your word. We want to understand your heart. Thank you that we have this freedom to assemble, and we are grateful for that. It's amazing to us to look at this land and to understand that we have had these freedoms to assemble and proclaim and so forth for all these years. That is truly amazing. We don't take that for granted. Father, as a nation, we have great concerns as well, as Christians about our nation. And you know those concerns. They are those things that you see and you understand. Well, we want to thank you. Thank you for those who stand brightly in this country today, from those in the political realm to those who just serve in different areas, in different places, to those whose families are saved. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We give you thanks for that. Thank you for these brothers and sisters, dear saints, who have gathered today. I pray you'll minister to them strongly. And I pray as we look at this text and consider this man's life and somewhat his wife's life as well, that you would encourage us in our journey, in the story that you're writing about our lives as that's being lived out. And Father, I pray it'll be clear, that it would be precise, and that your word would go forth and accomplish that which you would have it accomplish. Father, we ask your blessing on this congregation. We have those that have, in this past week, their lives have been turned upside down a bit in this past month and perhaps past year. And it is that we walk by faith and not by sight. We keep looking to you. You've called us to do that. You've said to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We look up and ask that you would give us courage and increase our faith. We don't come to you today as those who live it perfectly or know it perfectly. Feed us, we pray. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's hardly anything in life that we control. I've said that before to you, but it's so true, and I want to remind you of that today. Every day that God gives us is a day to count as a blessing and to live by faith. We never know what a day will hold. We just don't. There are moments in our days and in our walk with God when all of a sudden things change. This past week, that was true of many Christians. That's true of some in this congregation as well. Our lives are to be lived. They're to be lived with a simple, deep, implicit trust in God. The future events of our lives, they're already ordained by the Lord, but in part they remain unknown to us. He knows it, though, perfectly. We can trust him. He's writing the story. Our part is to keep moving forward in faith. Abraham didn't live life as a follower of God perfectly, and none of us do. But we're going to look at his life today, and we'll be looking at that in his journey in the next while. His life and Sarah's lives they're set before us in Scripture for a purpose. For a purpose. And here's one of those purposes. You see it in Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in earlier times, I believe the author, the writer, Paul, there's looking back at the Old Testament. The Spirit of God is instructing here. They're written so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So there it is. Hopefully, their lives will call us to stand firm, to a perseverance. Hopefully, their lives will bring us courage. Hopefully, their lives, as we look at them, will just help us to resound in hope. Here you see the call. You see the call in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, etc. God's original call to Abraham was to a lost man. Abraham was that man that God was going to use in a powerful way. He called him to faith. Abraham had a decision concerning God as to what God and his promises. God had revealed himself to Abraham, and the question was this: would he believe? Would he follow? That was the question. I want you to understand something at this point as well, and it's often misunderstood. Old Testament saints, when we think of Old Testament saints, we might think of Abraham, Moses, and so forth. And then we see the law and God's call to them in the law as to what to do and so forth. And many would believe, well, an Old Testament saint, if he was going to be in a right relationship with God, he had to follow the law, and that would bring him justification or declaration by God to being right with God. And that wouldn't be exactly true. That Old Testament law was given in order that God's people would know how they were to live their lives among the nations. Now, Abraham, if you'll turn to Genesis 15:6, there's a declaration there about faith. Genesis 15:6, then it says here, then he believed, that is, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he, God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. That is, Abraham believed in the promises of God. Ultimately, he was looking forward to the Messiah. And because of his faith, God reckoned or placed on him righteousness. So Abraham came into a right relationship with God through faith, through believing, through trust. Now, this New Testament, just to give you a little more on this, the New Testament is clear on this. I could spend the entire sermon on this alone, but here, under the Spirit of God, we understand this. For we maintain, Romans 3:28, that a man is justified by what? By faith, see, apart from the works of the law. Interesting that Abraham lived 400 years before the law. He could not have been declared right by God by keeping the law. Abraham was declared right by God by faith, by belief. Galatians 3:21, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For now notice this, if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. There was not an Old Testament law given that gave life. It couldn't do that. God alone could do that. God placed on Abraham's account righteousness. It's the same for us today. You know, there is described in the New Testament, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, a worthy walk. How it is that God wants us to live our lives out before a lost and dying world and within the community of believers. But a worthy walk does not make you right with God. It is faith through Jesus Christ alone. And the following that, we are to live like this. So, that's just... I'll get that question often. How is it that Old Testament believers were right with God? It was the law, right? No, it wasn't the law. The law was given so they would know how to live out their connection with God in a community and among the pagan nations that surrounded them. This is how God wanted them to live. So what Abraham saw in God, whatever it was, it steered him to believe in the promises of God. Abraham was from a pagan background. I want you to know that as well. He was from a pagan background. Look at Joshua 24:2. The last part of that, I'll read the whole thing, but the last part really describes it. Now Joshua, in this context, is imploring the people of God to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. I'm about to step off the scene. Listen, make a commitment to follow him. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times, our fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they what? they served other gods. Abraham was from Ur of Chaldees, a modern city in that day, and it was in that place where he grew up in a family that worshipped not the God of Israel, not the God of heaven, but other gods. Here's the thing to note. Through faith, your family does not need to determine what your future will be. Abraham came from, if we would think about it, a messed up family, and God used him powerfully. Very powerfully. And when you come to the cross of Christ, it is amazing what a new creation in Christ can be. We are made new in him. And God can powerfully and will powerfully work in our lives. And it was in the past month, I heard a testimony from a famous minister, Greg Laurie, an evangelist, powerful speaker. And he was talking about how he grew up. He grew up without a dad. He grew up not knowing his dad. The home he grew up in, he grew up with his mom, who was into drugs, into alcohol, different men in and out of that house all the time. He never knew his father. And he came to Christ, and it transformed him, and God has used him and continues to use him. And I want to say to you today, you might look, and by the way, all our families are messed up in some way. There's something back there. We're all needy before the cross of Christ. But God can and will do powerful things. That's his call. His call was to a lost man. His call was to a lost man. Believe in me. Then his call is further directed into what God wanted him to do. You see it there in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. So there's a purpose here as well. Leave your home, leave what you're familiar with, and follow me. You follow, and I'll take you where I want you to go. You know, this little call here, if this was God speaking to us in our lives, that's a little bit uncomfortable. You mean you're not going to lay out the detail? God says, I'll show you where you follow. I'll make it clear. I'm not going to show you yet. You follow, I'll go. Boy, that can be hard, right? This is where faith has to play a part. And we need to see God bigger and greater than anything we face, and that he's capable of taking me where he wants me to go. Leave your home, leave what you're familiar with, and follow me. You follow, I'll make it clear. I'll use you to reach the world for my great name, and I'll make your name great. Through Abraham here, I want you to know that God is reaching out to all who would believe to give a new beginning. If you think about the history up to this point, it's pretty dark for mankind. You have Adam and Eve in perfect fellowship, perfect union with God, a perfect marriage, and they give it all up for a forbidden fruit. And then, you know, their family, that gets pretty messed up. It isn't long before Cain slays Abel. You have the first murder in the first family. You get to Genesis 6. And you've got this mess where God looks at mankind. He says, you know, the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. And then you have the flood. And you get out of there, you get Noah and his family. That's it. And then you get to, just previous to this, in the 11th chapter, God had spoken to man to fill the earth. And man said, no, we're coming together. We're going to build us a tower. And through that, you have that dispersion that comes through God's judgment with the varying languages, and they are dispersed. So man, at this point, he doesn't look so great. But God is great and good and compassionate. And God is, you sort of see him as a missionary in this 12th chapter, where he says, I'm going to provide a Savior, and through him, all the world will be blessed. I'll give an opportunity for men and women, boys and girls to trust me. And so there's purpose here. He says in verse 2, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. You know what? I stand up here today having been blessed by God through this man, for this couple, through God's working in them to provide a Savior, Jesus Christ. You can trace Jesus right back to Abraham. And he says in verse 3, I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. My family is blessed because of this man's faith, because of what God has done through him. There's purpose here. But you also note that it's to the unknown. God didn't give him an itinerary of what the next 100 years, Abraham is 75 years old when God calls him. The next 100 years, he's going to live to 175. There's 100 years of faith that Abraham is going to live before God. 75 years, it's never too late to come in contact with God and to trust God. Never too late. So God didn't give him an explanation of what all it would be. He gave him instruction for one day to go. 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 You go. I'll guide your path. You go. Familiar verse, right? 2 Corinthians 5:7, a reminder to each of us, especially of those who like to have everything planned out to the nth degree. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We simply and implicitly trust God. I like to canoe. I enjoy canoeing, and one of the things I love about canoeing, especially down a river, is you never know what's around the next corner. You just don't. I remember I was with a friend. We were downstate. We were fishing a river, and we came to a hairpin turn, and we went around this. It was in the morning, probably 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and just as we turned the canoe, just got to that corner, we could hear something. And we thought, what is that? And in an instant, a flock of geese came swooping around that corner, and they had to go right over us. And they were shocked to see anyone in that river, and they were scared. And so when they went over, they tried to lighten whatever they were carrying, the load. And we were left dodging. I think that's so much like the walk of faith. You don't know what's around the corner. Sometimes things that happen stink, don't they? I mean, that's just, you don't see it. That's, you know, we walk by faith. My illustration here is to simply say, we don't know what's around that corner. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We really don't know what this afternoon will look like. But we know the one who does. So we have hope, we have encouragement. We can take courage in that, right, friend? We know him. We know him. Abraham, he had a choice to make. Would he believe? What is your choice today? Do you have to have it laid out? Does God need to reaffirm you? And he would. You know, he knows we're sheep. He knows we're weak in faith. He somehow keeps confirming and affirming and so on as we walk and go. But trust him. Trust him. So there's the call. You see the covenant there he makes to Abraham. He says, and this is unconditional. God's saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. In verse 2 and 3, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Your name will be great, and so shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I'll curse. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham, I'm going to do this. I want you to know that. I'm calling you. Here's my covenant. Here's my promise. There's going to be a nation. People groups constitute nations. It's an amazing call on God's life because you will note in the previous chapter, my Bible is it's laid out. I just look up a couple verses. Verse 30 of chapter 11. Take note of that. There's 75. Sarah is 65 at this point. Sarah was barren. She had no child. God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham's going to scratch his head about this for a long time yet. And God has to do this, and yet Abraham believes. He trusted the Lord. There's going to be a nation, people, land of Canaan, a promised land, etc. It's all by faith. You need to believe. You need to trust. It's going to be the nation, the name. At this point in his life, his name is Abram. Now, I've been referring to him as Abraham, and I'll do that. I know what the text says, but I'm on this side of the text, and it is now Abraham. That's why I'm doing that. But Abram, his name, Abram means exalted father. Exalted father. But in Genesis 17:5, God would give him the name Abraham, which means father of many nations, while he still has no child. That reaffirmation, there's this encouragement, I'm going to do this. So you have the nation, you have the name, and there's the blessings too. God would bless Abraham and Sarah with land and a child. The nation Israel would form out of the Jewish people. The Hebrews would come out of that. And we are blessed, brother and sister, today by God through this couple. Who's at the center of all this? God is. I mentioned Abraham, I mentioned Sarah, but God is in the middle of this. And what does he desire to do? He desires to reach the nations. There'll be a day when we meet in heaven, when every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be there. That's God's desire. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Through this man, he's declaring that to the world. Notice the response. Verse 4, the first part. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. I love that. He believed. He trusted. He deemed God to be truthful and worthy of his trust. His view of God and what God said transcended any hesitation that he might have. He simply obeyed. He went. There's a verse in Hebrews 11 that has to do with faith. And it has to do with the faith of Sarah. But that discussion in Hebrews 11 is, you know, it's just, here's what a person of faith looks like. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since, I love this, she considered him what? Faithful, who had promised. Our faith lacks when we look at our circumstances, when we look at everything around us, when we make God the same size or a little smaller than our difficulty. That's not the God of the Bible. And how often I'll do that. I'll think, oh no. And God's saying, I got it. I'll work it out. Just watch. Trust me. I'll do it. Abraham believed God. It wasn't a walk by faith. It was a walk of faith, not a walk of sight. And you see, he went. Abram went forth. He just went. Faith has a way of working itself out into our feet. He went. He trusted God. Notice again in Hebrews 11 what verse 8 says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, what? Not knowing where he was going. That's faith. That's trust. That's saying, God, you're able. I trust you. You can work it out. I'm just going to follow. Think of the tension for a moment. Think of the tension in Abraham's mind. I believe it was there. I can't think it wasn't. He was going to give up an awful lot by man's standards. He's leaving a modern city, leaving the familiar, that which he was so entwined with. He's leaving his family. There's an inward pressure here, perhaps a turmoil that brought. You go. You leave them, you go. Leaving one's family, for many, this would be beyond difficult. I think for all of us, it would be very hard. You're leaving all those gatherings, those birthdays, those celebrations, those getting together. You're leaving all that. Abraham, I'm calling you to leave all of that. This is life-changing. You know, we read this, oh, it went. There's a lot to this. But he's trusting God. How could he do it? Well, I will say to you, he did it because he trusted the Lord. And I think it's noteworthy as well that it will always cost us something to follow God. But what we gain is always better. It costs to follow the Lord. What we gain, oh, precious. Abraham was faced with a choice that nothing from man's point of view made sense. Why would you do that? His family was a well-off family. He's in a sophisticated city. He's supposed to go. He doesn't know where he's going. And this is, let me remind you, it's a tent camping expedition for the rest of his life. That's what it is. That's what it is. Why risk the lives of those you love? Why risk ruin financially and perhaps physically on what would become a 1,500-mile backpacking adventure? Why would he do this? Why? Because God had his hand on him, and he trusted God that he would direct him, he would protect him, he would provide for Abraham, his wife, and all others. Again, think about it. How many of us experienced situations in this past week, this past month in our lives that we never saw coming? We have. This body of believers have stepped into the unknown, and we do that, time and time again. But I want you to know something about the unknown, those things not known to us. That's what Abraham did here. He stepped into the unknown. His faith went right to his feet, and he went. Here's a verse that I want to give you courage along that line of thought. Psalm 139, verse 5. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you've laid your hand on me. Isn't that beautiful? The psalmist is speaking here about God's hand on his life. Later on in that psalm, he talks about being protected, being knit together in his mother's womb. And he talks about, you know, before I say a word, you hear it, on and on. But he says this about God. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand on me. Listen, the safest place, the place of greatest blessing is in the center of God's will. That's a place of greatest freedom. Now, Abraham's life was a bit up and down. We'll see that as we go. It wasn't a perfect walk of faith, but it was a walk of faith. He's trusting God. None of us do it perfectly, Abraham included, but it is awe-inspiring to see someone being used of God and led by God as to what God might do in their life. I'll finish up with this. Well, before I finish up, I always have something else to say, right? Before I finish up, I want to say this. Don't forfeit the blessings of what it is to follow God by lacking to trust Him. Don't forfeit that. I've told you before, I was not happy when I understood what God wanted me to do in life, to become a pastor. Last thing on earth I wanted, wasn't happy with that at all. Finally got my head around it, trusted God, we went forward. Becky and I would have missed so much if we'd have said, No, I'm staying with the family. You know, I'm not leaving that which is familiar. We got it here. It's good. No, I praise God for his leading my life. You know, and that's true of all of us. When you are clear as to what God's called you to, you go. Go. He'll take care of you. Yeah, you want to be able to look back and say, I trusted him. That's what we do. It's a walk of faith. Press on, brother, sister. This is my last thought. Here it is. Press on by faith with courage into the unknown this afternoon, tomorrow, next month, next year. Unknown to us, not unknown to him. Simply trusting him for what lies before us. Loving Father, increase our faith. May we get a glimpse of you that is greater in our own minds than what it has been in the past. Help us, Father, to trust you in everything. And the little things, we looked at a big thing here, but you've called us so many times to trust you in the little things. Help us in every one of them to look to you, to see you great and greater than anything we face. Thanks for your grace that is so beautiful in our lives. And thank you for Jesus, who died and rose again, never to die again, and whom we look to today. Our focus is on him and his greatness, on his grace and mercy to the one who has overcome the grave, who created all things, who one day will come again to take up the church, who one day we'll see face to face. We have a great future, Father. Let that impact our doing today. In Jesus' name, amen.